On this Memorial Day, we want to honor those who have died in war and pay tribute to those who have risked their lives and are coping with the aftermath of war. In a couple of minutes, we're going to hear from Brian Turner, who fought in Iraq and wrote a book of poems about facing the constant possibility of death. The book's called Hear Bullet. But first, we're going to excerpt the interview that led us to Turner, an interview with retired Lieutenant Colonel John Noggle, who was the operations officer of a tank battalion task force that was deployed to Anbar province in Iraq's Sunni Triangle in 2003 and 2004. He lost 22 young men, and his task force earned over 100 Purple Hearts. Noggle was one of the first military leaders in Iraq to practice counterinsurgency tactics, and he wrote the introduction to the U.S. Army Marine Corps Counterinsurgency Field Manual. When I was preparing my interview with Noggle in 2008, I read an eloquent review that he wrote of Turner's poetry collection, Hear a Bullet. I quoted some of that review when I spoke with Noggle. It is Halloween as I read this, and I'm being visited by ghosts, some friendly, some not, whom I have kept away, locked inside me for years. But Brian Turner, Ghost 13 Alpha, that son of a bitch, he's calling them back. I've put them away, kept them inside, the ghosts of the lieutenants and the captain and the first sergeant, their bodies torn by shrapnel or a sniper's bullet, or gone, just gone, into hundreds of shreds of flesh the size of my still living hand. But Ghost 13 Alpha speaks to ghosts, he calls to his ghosts, and they bring mine along for company, and now they will not go away. And you go on to describe, you know, some of what you experienced in war. And let me just read a little bit more. If you have been to war, if you have held a microphone in your hand, begging for medevac with the blood of your friends on your hands, pouring out your soul over the airwaves to keep your friends from becoming ghosts, from joining the shades in an unholy company of men who have given limbs and eyes and hearts, if you have held that bloody hand mic, then Ghost 13 Alpha will take you back to that day when time stopped and life stopped, and never really started again, no matter how hard you try to make the ghosts go away. That's really beautifully written. Do you write a lot?
I wrote poetry. I still write poetry. I'm working on a novel actually about Iraq. So someone, I think it was Alfred Lord Tennyson, said that poetry is powerful emotions recollected in tranquility, and I was asked to write a review of Brian's wonderful book, Hear Bullet, and it was Halloween, and got to deal with some ghosts, and that was a good thing. And it is an enormous privilege to have worked with and fought with the men I fought with. And I will never forget them.
Of the emotions that you expressed in that review that I read, things that you can't really keep on the surface when you're actually fighting the war.
In the particular battle scene that I was remembering when I wrote, when I talked about that with the hand mic in my hands calling for medevac, someone told me afterward that when I came on that scene, and it was my job as the operations officer to report to places where things were happening, so I saw the worst of what happened and also the best. Someone said that one of the soldiers told me that I came in smiling and calm and collected, and I was shocked. That wasn't at all what I was feeling at the time, and I'm pleased that I was able to maintain a positive attitude, because it's important in that kind of environment to keep the soldiers focused and professional, and try to ensure that they maintain their professionalism. And if you show anger or rage, that can create an unhealthy dynamic. And so I tried very hard in those circumstances to be as professional as I could. And apparently in that one case, at least, I succeeded, although the turmoil inside was very real and still is.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us, and I hope we talk again. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Retired Lieutenant Colonel John Noggle recorded in 2008. In July, he'll become the new headmaster at the Haverford School in Haverford, Pennsylvania. After that interview, we set up an interview with poet Brian Turner, whose poems took Nagel back to his days fighting in Iraq, back to the ghosts he tried to put away. Turner was a team leader for the 3rd Striker Brigade combat team. It was the first Striker Brigade to be sent into the combat zone in Iraq in 2003. Turner's book of poems about Iraq is called Hear a Bullet. Let me ask you to read the title poem from your collection, Hear a Bullet.
Sure. Hear a Bullet. If a body is what you want, then here is bone and gristle and flesh. Here is the clavicle snapped wish, the aorta's open valves, the leap thought makes at the synaptic gap. Here is the adrenaline rush you crave, that inexorable flight, that insane puncture into heat and blood. And I dare you to finish what you've started, because here, bullet, here is where I complete the word you bring hissing through the air. Here is where I moan the barrel's cold esophagus, triggering my tongue's explosives for the rifling I have inside of me. Each twist of the round spun deeper, because here, bullet, here is where the world ends every time.
When you wrote that poem, which side of the bullet did you think of yourself being on?
It was coming towards me, and that poem is, it has a lot of bravado to it, and I think that's really just the fear masking itself. I'd say about 80% of that poem is fear, and then there's 20% of sort of an ugly psychology of finally wanting to meet that moment, because so often as an infantry soldier, what I actually experienced wasn't direct combat, but was indirect attacks against us, roadside bombs, snipers, mortar attacks, those types of things.
Did you write that poem while you were in Iraq?
I did. I wrote this book while I was in Iraq, and except for 2 or 3 poems.
What's the closest you came to the bullet actually hitting you?
One of the times I remember, for example, is going around a traffic circle in Mosul, and the vehicles have to slow down to make the circle. And as we're going around, there's as many streets, of course, that sort of spiral out of those circles. And from one of them, a guy fired a rocket-propelled grenade, an RPG, that slammed in the back of our Striker. An event that made me think about people that might be trying to kill me. And I remember writing in my notebooks that night, questioning whether or not if I could meet that person tomorrow and if we could break bread and sit down at a table and have lunch together or eat and talk, would he still fire at me the day after that? And or would I fire at him, you know? And I still don't know the answer to that.
Was it after that that you wrote the poem?
Yes, it was, actually. There were a few events. There were 2 or 3 different rocket attacks in a space of about a week. And I think it was shortly thereafter that I wrote that poem. I wrote it in about 10 to 15 minutes. It's one of the fastest poems I've ever written, if you discount like 20 years of study prior to that. But I wrote it while listening to the Queens of the Stone Age, this rock band, and as sort of wallpaper music, so I couldn't hear people outside. And I wrote it, and it's verbatim what it was when I wrote it. And I took it, and I folded it up, and I put it in a Ziploc bag, and I carried it in my chest pocket the rest of the time that I was in country. And it seemed sort of like a talisman and an acknowledgement of where I was.
Forgive me for bringing this up, but had a bullet or an IED found you, that would have been with your remains. And if it was legible, it kind of would have been your epitaph. Were you thinking that when you carried it with you?
I can't really remember exactly what I was thinking as far as that goes, but prior to going over to Iraq, I was chosen in my company to take this one class with the mortuary affairs specialist. He was a sergeant first class. He taught me if they're on the battlefield, for example, if there were, say, 40 people killed and we came across the scene, then I was supposed to come out and they would secure the area. And then I was trained on how to mark the area and to properly bag the remains of people and their and body parts and things like that. And I saw him again in Kuwait, and then I saw him again in Mosul, in the dining facility. And I remember it felt sort of like death was following me, because I knew that if I did die and that poem was with me in my pocket, then my body would be processed through him and he would maybe read it somehow, you know?
I'm going to ask you to read another poem from your collection, Hear Bullet, and this is called What Every Soldier Should Know.
This poem begins with a quote from Rousseau, which says, "To yield to force is an act of necessity, not of will. It is at best an act of prudence." What every soldier should know. If you hear gunfire on a Thursday afternoon, it could be for a wedding or it could be for you. Always enter a home with your right foot. The left is for cemeteries and unclean places. Ogef tera armik is rarely useful. I mean, stop or I'll shoot. Sabah al-Khair is effective. It means good morning. Inshallah means Allah be willing. Listen well when it is spoken. You will hear the RPG coming for you. Not so the roadside bomb. There are bombs under the overpasses, in trash piles, in bricks, in cars. There are shopping carts with clothes soaked in foo gas, a sticky gel of homemade napalm. Parachute bombs and artillery shells sewn into the carcasses of dead farm animals. Graffiti sprayed under the overpasses. I will kill you, American. Men wearing vests rigged with explosives walk up, raise their arms, and say, Inshallah. There are men who earn $80 to attack you, $5,000 to kill. Small children who will play with you, old men with their talk, women who offer chai, and any one of them may dance over your body tomorrow.
Brian, I know you're completing a new book now. Are you still writing about combat in Iraq?
I'm actually writing about what I feel is missing back here. I was trying to write poems that were in Iraq, the poems that I'd started over there but never were finished, and I found that they weren't working, and I realized that, you know, of course, I'm no longer there, so I can't write those poems. But I started looking around and seeing that, you know, we're a country at war, but disturbingly, I don't see war like in Marfa, Texas, or Fresno, California, where I'm from. I'm not seeing it in my daily life. I'm not experiencing it. And yet, there are these sort of imagistic rhymes all around us. I went into Lowe's Home Improvement Center, for example, and I was buying some nails. I started looking at them. I realized that there's a type of scaffolding nail, a double-headed nail, that looks a lot like the firing pin inside my weapon that I used to carry. And then, like, when you go to the register and you pay for the cash and the register slides open, that sound when it slides sounds a bit like a machine gun being charged. And the fan blades above, you know, they're imagistically rhyming a bit with the rotors of a helicopter, for example. So these are the poems I'm writing now. I'm writing about the soldiers that have come back. What is that experience like for us as we come back? And then what is the experience like as a nation? It seems to me a bit obscene that we can bury so many people in the earth and yet know so little about them. And that's what I'm writing about now.
Brian Turner, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, no, it's an honor. Thank you.
Brian Turner, recorded in 2008. He's the author of the poetry collections Hear Bullet and Phantom Noise.